The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now, I just begin to hear this just over and over. I know that well, and you know that well. This is probably one of the most recognizable passages of Scripture in the Bible. "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." How many believe that's the Word of God? Now, there's a more important question. How many believe that? Because not only is this one of the most quoted and recognizable passages in the Scripture, I think it's one of the most disbelieved passages in the Scripture. You've heard it mentioned. I believe Brother Surface shared some of it. I believe maybe Tyler shared some of it. That we don't preach what a child of God should be, and we don't preach what a child of God should be doing. And it's obvious what a child of God should be. How many believe that? And it's obvious what the children of God should be doing, if you say so. It just makes sense to minister the gospel that way. And I'm going to say that in my life, most other ministry of the gospel comes from that basis. That we're going to preach to the people of God, and we look at the situation, we look at what goes on in the church, we look at what is going on in lives, we look at what's going on in hearts. We look at the situation, the condition of the church as a whole, and we recognize it's not what it should be. I mean, say amen to that. We recognize it's not what it should be. And so we, in good intention, we begin to preach what they ought to be doing, how they ought to behave, how they ought to act, how they ought to go forward, how they ought to change. And it sounds like a good message. It really does. It's kind of like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's desired, you know, pleasant to look upon. Good for food, desired to make one wise. But it didn't give what it promised. And if I came to you with a message this morning that simply said this, "Do this and live," it would sound like a wonderful message. It would sound like something that you should embrace. It would sound like something you should lay hold of and commit yourself to. If I said, "Do this and live." But if you know the Word of God, you know that that's what Paul says. This is what the law speaks. This is what the law promises. It says, "The righteousness of the law speaketh on this wise: he that does this shall live." And the law promised that to a people for over 1,500 years, and never gave them life. Never gave anyone life. Never delivered on its promise. That's not the way the gospel works. As wise as it sounds, as reasonable as it sounds, as good as it sounds, I believe it might have been Tyler that said it, it's a recipe for a struggle. It's a recipe for a labor. As Jesus said, they grind up grievous burdens upon the people, and it promises them life. But it never delivers. never delivers. Paul goes on in Romans 10 to tell us the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. He said, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? Christ has already come. Say not, who shall descend in the deep to bring Christ up? Christ is already resurrected, and he's already said, it is finished. Amen. He said, but it's nigh you in your heart and your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because with the heart, a man does what? Believes unto what? Righteousness. If righteousness is the goal, then you're not going to get there by doing. You're going to get there by believing something. The gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's so simple in the Scripture. Paul tells us how the gospel works, how it's always worked, how it always will work. And it's in 2 Corinthians, the last verse of the third chapter. And he says this, says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. What brings change? What the change that's needed to the heart of a person? Is it a message that says, do this? Or is it a message that says, behold this? See, they're totally opposite. They're totally different. One sounds wise, and to be honest, the other sounds foolish. One, you can reason out. One, you can apply logic to. One, you can say, I can see how this will work. And that was the do this and live. And the other makes no sense whatsoever, because it says, behold this and live and be changed into the same image. When you see a congregation or a church struggling, laboring, sinking, seeking to serve God, it's because they've accepted the wrong message. Listen, I've been on the dispensing end of both. I've dispensed that can bring you into struggle, into labor, into turmoil, into questioning your own salvation, into darkness, ever more to do, ever more to strive and strive after. And it sounds so convincing. And I've ministered that, and I've seen those I've ministered to shout, rejoice, promise, weep, and sink into the darkness. Probably about 30 years ago, I was ministering in a church in Nashville. I sat in on the Sunday school class, and the teacher was teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. And he was teaching about the words of Jesus concerning your enemy. Love your enemy. I believe Jesus said that and meant that. Love your enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Do good to them. And he began to teach on this passage of Scripture. And he made this statement, and it just struck me. He said, this is going to be the hardest thing you ever do as a Christian. And I go, okay. The hardest thing you ever do as a Christian is love your enemy, is pray for those that despitefully use you. Do good to them that do evil to you. And then he followed up with these words. He says, even though it's hard, it's vitally important that you do it. Because there's a lost world out there. How many believe that? And they've got to see something real. So you need to go out, and if you've got to bite your lip, love your enemy. And even though it's hard, pray for them that despitefully use you and do good to them. And they will see the love of Christ in you, and they will want what you have, and that will draw them in. Well, I sat there. Did you see a problem here? I said, well, wait a minute. I don't love them, but I got to love them. That's why it's hard. So I'm going to go out and do what I don't want to do. I'm going to do it because that's what Christians are supposed to do. And I sat there, and forgive me, you say, well, you shouldn't think like that while someone else is teaching. I sit there and say, wait a minute. I've got to go out and pretend I love someone that I don't love so that they'll be overwhelmed about what they think that I have inside, and so they can come in and get what I don't got, and then we can go out and pretend together. Something's wrong with that picture. Because do this and live never produces what it promises. But John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus walking that day, he said, behold. I was looking at this. I always thought I understood behold. And behold is to see. It is to look upon. But it's not the normal word for see. It's not the normal word to look upon. It's with surprise. And that's why we say behold. It's a surprising thing when you behold something. When you see it. It's like an unveiling. It's like someone has, you know, fixed to unveil a portrait, a monument, a work of art, a painting, or nowadays it's a new home being remodeled, and they pull back the covers, and behold! Behold! And you're surprised! And you're surprised! And John is saying that when he says, behold! The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Did you remember the verse we quoted just a minute ago? How are we changed into the same image? By beholding. That's how we are changed into the by beholding. By seeing. By seeing the with open face the glory of the Lord. We see it. And in seeing it, he says, we are changed from glory to glory. You know what that glory to glory is? It's the glory of loving someone because you're making yourself love them. It's the glory of doing good because even though you're gritting your teeth, your preacher told you it's the right thing to do, so you're going out and do it. It's the change from that glory to the glory of a new heart filled with the love of Christ. And it's from from that glory that Paul says is no glory. And I agree with Paul. That glory is no glory at all. Your wife turns to you and said, "Mister, it's hard. It's hard. I'm gritting my teeth to love you." Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? That glory is no glory. And it's made no glory by that wife that'll turn to you and say, "You're in my thoughts, and you're in my heart, you're in my mind, you're in my being. I want to tell you that other is made no glory by reason of the glory that excels." And John said, "Behold the Lamb." And that's how we preach the gospel. I understand what I can do to get you trying to do better. Or I know that if I can show you Christ, then if you see Him, you will be changed. So I was riding down the road and I just began to hear that. Behold the Lamb of God. See. Who takes away the sin of the world. And then I begin to hear three things. And if you've been at Calvary Outreach, you've heard me now preach on these things every service. But I heard three things. And the first thing I heard was out of your heart. How many believe that? That the sin that He takes away, He takes out of your heart. Do you believe that? Mark, the 7th chapter. He says in the 20th verse, He said, "That which comes out of man, that defiles him." And this was based upon those that were condemning His disciples because they ate without washing their hands. And well, it's going to make you defiled. It's going to make you dirty. Well, wash your hands. But that's not what defiles a person. What makes a person unclean, Jesus said, is what comes out. And people will lock on to that and say, "Well, you got to watch your mouth." Well, I think you need to watch your mouth. But I always tell people, and I believe this absolutely, something comes out, it only shows that it was within. Amen. See that? Y'all know what that is. That's a bad aim. That's when you take that hammer and you miss that object that you're swinging at. And you hit an object you don't want to hit. Am I the only one that's ever done that? That will tell you a whole lot about what's in. It certainly will. And if someone else is swinging the hammer, it will tell you even more about what's in. I used to say something to people. I said, when life steps on a child of God, only Jesus squeezes out. I believe that. I'll say that again. When life steps on a child of God, only Jesus squeezes out. It was, when life steps on you, what squeezes out? Do we understand that grace is not revealed just when you're in the church house? Grace is not revealed when everybody's bragging on you. Grace is not revealed when everything's going your way. Grace is revealed when all men speak evil of you. Grace is revealed when people misunderstand you. Grace is revealed when it feels like all the powers of hell are coming against you. That's the hour that grace is revealed. And if it's not revealed there, it's not grace. He said, that which comes out of a man defiles the man. And you say, well, he means watch your mouth. No, he's saying, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, who said this? Jesus Christ. The things that we blame on circumstance, the things that we blame on other people, the things that we blame on the devil, that defile a person. He tells you the order of things that defile a person. He says it's not circumstance, it's not other people, and this is a biggie, and it's not the devil. It's not the devil. I get an A for the quietest service. He says it comes out of the heart. Friday night we ministered on Cornelius. And Peter said, God, who knows the heart, bear them witness, purifying their heart by faith. It's this such things that He takes away. And until this is taken away, we're going out seeking to show them that we have something that we don't have, so they will want something that we don't possess, so they'll come get something that we can't give them, so we can go out together and not have it all together. Or, aren't you glad there's an or? We can behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So I was riding down the road and I was hearing that, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I heard this, out of your heart. Do you believe that? I believe that. I told you years ago, I said, you know, when I get up and preach, I'm not going to preach a lie. You think that's good? And I said, and when I get up and sing a song, I'm not going to sing a lie. And I don't have any trouble at all singing, He took my sin away. He took my sin away and keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sin away. And I can sing that. And so many in this place can sing that. No, I'm not making things up. I'm not pretending. And I'm not trying to say it enough times until it happens. I know He took my sin away. But I've seen enough over the years and heard enough that when you start preaching the gospel, everybody's got the exception. We've got the exception. We've got the but and unless. And we've got the clauses that say, well, he did it. How many believe he did it? If he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, I've got a question for you. Did he do it or did he fail? He did it. He did not fail. And if he takes away the sin of the world, if he purifies the heart, this here probably entered, probably really began to gain strength probably 40 years ago. Well, he comes in, he purifies your heart, and he gives you a Holy Spirit, but your mind is the problem. And until we renew your mind, we renew your way of thinking, we renew how you process things. Took you a lifetime to get the junk in, and so we're going to start getting the junk out. And we're going to work there, and all the while we're getting the junk out, we're putting in new. And it's like this, out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old, in with the new. And we're going to renew your mind because you are saved, you're washed, you're clean, you're holy in the eyes of God. But your mind... So it sounds logical. Except Jesus said, from within, out of the heart, the first thing he said, proceed evil thoughts. Do you understand that evil thoughts, the lust, the desires, the darkness, the schemes, the deceit, does not originate in the mind? Can you see that? Does not originate in the mind? It originates in the heart. And when he purges the hearts of the people, when he purges the inner man of the people, I'm telling you this, and I'm not here to preach my experience. And when I talk about my experience, I'm not proud of it. I was the worst excuse for a husband you could find. I took the most beautiful and precious woman in the world and treated her like dirt. My heart went after everything that was a woman, except for the one that God had given me. You say that's normal? That's demonic. I remember the hour, the moment that Jesus Christ washed over me. And I remember the moment. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not here to preach to you a feeling. And I'm not here to preach to you a setting. The Lord told me many years ago as I pointed to the bench that I was saved on. He said, why are you pointing to a bench? You didn't get saved on a bench. You were redeemed on a cross. Behold the Lamb of God. But I remember the moment that it all washed away. Can I say that again without someone thinking I'm self-righteous? I remember the moment that it all washed away. And I didn't know the Scripture. I didn't understand what it was saying. Probably at the time, I would have believed more of these things that tell about the process and tell about the mind. I would have believed that. But I could not deny. He took my sin away. He took my sin away. It wasn't just out of my heart. It was out of my mind. And it was out of my life. And these things we come up with to justify the struggles and the darkness, they are the jailhouse. They are the things that keep people in bondage. As long as you believe that the problem is your mind, that Christ the Lord from heaven who shed His blood could cleanse his heart but do nothing about your mind, you will stay a captive. But behold the Lamb of God. Someone said, but the Scripture says renewing your mind. He says, and be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Tells me he's talking to a people that's not like the world. Tells me that there's got to be a change for them to be like the world. These are the redeemed. He's talking about transforming you, where you at, Sister Kathy, into a minister of Christ. Someone that God can use. You present your body and in the Holy Ghost will renew your mind and you'll begin to think His thoughts and walk in His Spirit and be transformed. But Christ is the Lamb of God that takes it out of the heart. He takes it out of the mind. And I begin to hear that. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world out of your heart, out of your mind. And then I heard one more thing. And this is the first two have blown you away. This surely will. But the third thing I heard was out of your nature. How many know what a boogeyman is? How many, be honest, ever hid under the bed from the boogeyman? I've got the boogeyman was in the closet. I've got the boogeyman was under the bed. The church has accepted something about what is called the sin nature that is not in the Word of God. A lost person is sinful by nature. You believe that? By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And their nature is sinful. It's not that they have two natures, but human nature was polluted. That's that garment. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, And that's a story. That's a given the illustration of a garment dyed. The dye is placed upon the wool, the garment, and it sets, and it cannot be undone. And so that pollutant, that sin that entered through Adam's transgression is interwoven in the nature of man. And I hear people, "Oh, that's foolishness. Curse God, curse God, curse God. That's foolishness." I don't believe in some blankety-blank, sorry, sinful nature thing. I go out and debase myself because I want to debase myself. And it is a pollutant that entered the heart of humanity. And some people are very good about keeping it under control and keeping it in line and good training and good parents. And I want to tell you, good parents make a difference. Don't ever underestimate the power of mom and dad. But with all mom and dad's efforts, there's still that pollutant that was never supposed to be there. And you need to understand that. Wasn't ordained of God. I believe it's the nature of the serpent and that entered in. That person that is lost in sin, they're not debasing themselves because they want to. They're debasing themselves because it's the nature of the serpent. And we understand that. In the church, we understand that it's interwoven. That's why the Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And we've got that right. But what we miss is that He said, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson. And we look at it and we see the impossibility of it ever being different. He said, they shall be white as snow. And He's showing the doing of the impossible. This idea that a child of God has a sinful nature is just absurd. Well, first of all, you've got those. Well, I've got the nature of Christ and I've got the sinful nature. Christ and Belial finally decide to hook up in the same temple. We've created something in our thinking that is greater than the Lord from heaven. You know what your nature is? It's just what's natural to you. It's not some great demon that towers over that Christ is hammered into a box. If you can keep the door shut. It's just what's natural to you. And when Christ lives within, He says you've been partakers of the divine nature. It's natural to love your neighbor and it's natural to love your enemy. It's natural to worship God and it's natural to seek His face. It's natural to love your wife. It's natural to love all men. It's natural to do good to all men. To love your neighbor as yourself. It's not because you have struggled so far hard. It's Christ in you. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. In the childish things, he says, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. Well, put away the childish things. The same verse of Scripture that says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, says, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Righteousness in a child of God is a nature. And I just was hearing this. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your nature.